it was the worst day of his life? Or was it the best day of his life? I'll let you decide. His name was Juan José Muñoz Romero. He's from Colombia, 67 years old. This was just a few weeks ago. They called the paramedics when he had some serious high blood pressure issues. He was taken to a health clinic, and his family was then notified just a couple of hours later that he had died, that Juan had died. But there was something about it that hadn't quite struck them just right. There was something about it that they weren't sure about. And so they actually went down to the health clinic, and they said, we'd like to see our father. And they wouldn't let them because of the coronavirus protocols. But the daughter was unconvinced. She says, I've got to see my father. I need to see him. And so she actually, when doctors were distracted, she actually broke into the health clinic morgue. And her father was in the morgue. And when she approached her father, she looked at him, and his eyes were open, and he was awake. And something told her that my dad's not dead. And she began to tell the doctors this, my father's alive. And they said, no, this is just normal things that happen sometimes with people who've died. And she was insistent upon it. And so she said, I don't trust you. She actually said, we're going to go to another clinic. They took him to the other clinic, and guess what? Her father was alive, and now he's recovering. It was the worst day of Juan, you know, Romero's life, but it was also the best day of his life. They got their father back from the dead, and what an amazing, crazy story from just a few weeks ago. The moral of the story is that if you're a morgue worker or if you are somebody who is declaring people's death, just be extra, extra careful to look very, very, very carefully for signs of life because they might still be alive. Well, I'm going to jump right into it now, guys. We're going to go to the book of Acts. And we're in this incredible series called Unstoppable. And last weekend, Brandon did a fantastic job of bringing this very first message that the Apostle Peter gave to the people gathered them in Jerusalem. The setting, Jesus has been crucified, then raised from the dead. He, right before he's ascended into heaven, he says, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. He ascends into heaven. After his resurrection, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descends upon the people gathered there, the small group of disciples, and then Peter goes out into the streets with all the rest of the disciples. They get this miraculous reception of the Holy Spirit, and he brings this message of the good news of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus on the very first day. Now, guys, the church looked like the movement of disciples looked like it was as good as dead. But then, in a very short time, they come rushing back to life. And today I want to talk to you about signs of life. In fact, I'm going to give to you 7 marks of spiritual momentum. And maybe this has been a rough year for you. Maybe this has been spiritually tough on you, the whole pandemic. Maybe it's been difficult for some of the transitions that you've gone through in your personal life. I don't know. But today, every one of us, I'm going to ask you to do 2 things. I'm going to ask you to go online to valley.church/boldfaith, and I'm going to ask you to make 2 bold faith moves. One of them for your own spiritual growth in the coming year, and the second is for your own bold faith move for spiritual influence, influencing others who are not yet followers of Jesus. So as you're thinking about this message, I want you in the back of your mind thinking, what is God calling me to do for my 2 bold faith moves, all right? So let's look at these 7 marks of spiritual momentum that we see in the early church. The first one is when there's signs of life, when there's spiritual momentum that's starting, here's what you see in people. First, we fearlessly share the good news of Jesus. We fearlessly share the good news of Jesus. This is what Pastor Brandon covered last weekend. Peter replied, he's speaking to the people in Jerusalem, the crowds there gather, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And guys, this is just Peter, who was cowering, who was denying that he even knew Jesus. Now he's recaptured his momentum, and he the Holy Spirit is motivating him to share the good news. And 3,000 people declared their allegiance to Jesus Christ on that very first day. And today, maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Maybe you've heard this all before, but right now you understand that God sent his son Jesus to die for your sins, and that he rose again, and that he offers forgiveness, free forgiveness, to everyone who trusts in him. Last weekend, Brandon took a lot of time to unpack that message, and I hope if you missed it, you'll go back and listen to it. And guys, people responded in faith and trust in Jesus Christ last weekend. In fact, Pastor Brandon talked about one young man who met him out in the atrium. He says, I need to pray with someone because I want to trust in Jesus Christ today. And right there, out in our atrium, there was a group of small group of people who got together, and that man crossed the line of faith. So maybe that's your bold faith move, or maybe your bold faith move is to begin to share more fearlessly the good news of Jesus. All right, let's keep going. Second mark of spiritual momentum, signs of life, is that we expect God to bring spiritual awakening. We expect him to do so. Verse says in verse 41, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people accepting the message of the gospel, trusting in Jesus Christ in a single day. Only God can do that. It's a miracle of conversion. It's a miracle of redemption and forgiveness. But these folks were diving into the gospel. Literally, 3,000 people were diving into the waters of baptism and were trusting in Jesus. And they were making waves. It was a big splash. You get the idea. Very large numbers. They had been transformed. And just a brief note for those of you who are Bible nerds and archaeological interests, there are some people have doubted this. How could they have baptized 3,000 people right there in Jerusalem? But we know from archaeological evidence that there were at least 150 known pools in Jerusalem at that time in history, and it's not that big of an area, plenty of places for people to be baptized in a very short period of time. We have seen at Valley Church a steady stream of people coming to faith in Christ, but what I'm praying for is for God to make that steady stream a mighty river of people coming to faith in Christ. Pray that with me. Let's expect God to do great things and bring spiritual awakening. Number three, spiritual momentum comes when we prioritize our own spiritual growth. When you set the priority of your own spiritual growth, that's when you begin to see God work. You begin to see spiritual momentum happen in your life. Verse 42, it says that this early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So guys, we say at Valley that we major on the majors. And here is a church that is truly majoring on the majors. They're devoting themselves. They are majoring in these four things: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. They were rock solid on those. They were passionate about those. And the question is, are you passionate about these things that will help you grow spiritually? Let's look at them. First is the apostles' teaching. This is the teaching of the Word of God. This is the what God has given to us through his apostles and through the prophets, Old and New Testament, that we can read and take in on a daily basis. So are you soaking in the Word of God? We need both the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help us understand the Word. Somebody has compared the Word of God and the Spirit of God to an aqueduct. Okay, so there's an old Roman aqueduct. And they wrote, our life in Christ can be compared to an aqueduct. The stone waterways that brought water from the nearby mountains into parched cities in Italy. Are there some still used in countries today? And the objective foundation of our spiritual lives, the Word of God, are like the stone archways of the aqueduct. The subjective elements, that is our daily experience in Christ through the Holy Spirit, is like the fresh water flowing through the aqueduct. And we need both. Some Christians neglect the Word of God and seek only the subjective experience. But without the solid Word of God to guide their experience and to contain and channel that experience, the experience itself drains into error and is lost. Other Christians boast well-engineered aqueducts based on extensive knowledge of the Bible, but they are bone dry. They bring no refreshment. Strong spiritual lives require both the objective foundation of the Word of God and the subjective experience of God's Holy Spirit enlivening that Word in our hearts to make it real in our lives. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Without it, we're left with merely our own wisdom and with our own personal kind of bag of tricks that we learn to do life. Let's dig into the Word of God. This, you have to prioritize this to see spiritual growth. He says they also prioritize the fellowship, that is, the togetherness of the believers. They were sharing with other believers. They were with other believers. Without fellowship with other believers, you become isolated. You become barren. You can become vulnerable to Satan's attacks. You can become unaccountable. You can become quirky. And we've seen in this COVID times some believers starting to drift off because they don't have regular fellowship. So find it with either online or in person, somehow find fellowship and open up the Bible together and talk about your spiritual life. A third one is they devote themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, the breaking of bread refers probably both to just meals with Christian friends and also when they remembered the Lord Jesus during their times of the Lord's Supper. Both of those are essential elements. Devote yourselves to getting together with other believers and whenever we observe the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Supper, remember Jesus Christ in a personal way. Without this, we become lifeless. We become thankless. We can have religious things, but not a relationship with Jesus. And we live lives that are separated from the life-giving fellowship that we can have with other believers. And then the fourth thing they devoted themselves to is prayer. They were praising God and they were seeking God for everything. So is prayer a part of your everyday life? If it's not, you get out of touch with God. You're on your own and you're just wandering. But with it, you have God's guidance in the good times and in the bad times. And otherwise, you can become cold of heart. So I want to encourage you, devote yourself to your own spiritual growth. Prioritize it. And to help you with this, a few weeks ago, we gave to you this kind of unstoppable journal. These have just arrived. They're fresh off the press, actually. And they are the scripture notebooks of the book of Acts. And we want to make this available to everybody at Valley Church. You can stop by the church building at any time and pick one up. It's free. It's the entire book of Acts. And included is the pages of scripture, as well as plenty of area for you to take notes. And I would encourage you to use this throughout this long series so that you can remember the things that God's teaching you and can reflect on them and pray about them. It's a great resource, so please pick that up. And this helps for you to devote yourself to the Word of God and to those things that help you to grow. Otherwise, we can become distracted by good things. Sometimes we can be derailed by secondary things, or we can become destroyed by evil things. We don't want to have any of those. We want to really prioritize what's going to help our own spiritual growth. At Valley Church here, guys, we major on the majors. And that's what they did. They majored on the majors. They had a lot of different types of folks who spoke different languages even. And they're in Jerusalem, lots of different backgrounds, but they majored on the majors. And from time to time, I love to remind Valley Church that we major on the majors. And sometimes they give you this little diagram. Here it is. It's called our big green ball. And we go through this at every one of our newcomers classes, and I'll refer to it again. And that basically is we focus on the essentials of the faith. These are the things that we're rock solid are that we really major on. At the core is those things that are necessary for salvation. They're things that are taught in the Bible that we must believe in order to have a relationship with God. The essentials, the next rung out of the of this sphere, are the essentials of the faith. That is, things that while they might not be necessary for salvation, they're absolutely essential to a healthy Orthodox faith. And these are the things that appear in our doctrinal statement. They're things that Christians have believed and taught for 2,000 years. The next area out is convictions. And these are things that the Bible does speak directly to, but that Christians over the centuries might have different views on. Things like baptism, things like how God exactly did creation, things like the timing of the second coming of Jesus. Those are the things the Bible speaks directly to, but godly Christians can disagree on. But we don't fight about those convictions. We discuss them, but we don't fight about them. And the last one is our preferences. This is the area that I think, it's interesting, I think that it's the least important, but it's the one that most gets Christians sideways with each other. And especially, guys, now, in a very polarized time, we need to come together. We need to remember to major on the majors. There's so many things, politics, coronavirus protocols, views on different things, cultural happenings. It's so easy for us to make those so important that we're actually breaking fellowship, that we're actually getting sideways with each other relationally. We don't want to do that. We can discuss those things. We can even debate those things. But we do that with a smile on our face and with an understanding and joy in our hearts that, you know, those things that might divide us are so much less than the core of our faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God that brings us together. I just want to remind you, that's what the early church did, and that's how they were able to stay unified, because even though they had a lot of opinions on secondary matters, on the heart of the good news of Jesus, they were of one mind. And let's continue to do that together, all right? Number four is we experience only God moments. Those are those moments that, you know, only God is the explanation for them. It could not have happened apart from the intervention of God. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. They were just in awe. There was a sense of God's presence. The word literally says fear was upon every soul. They're like, wow, God is incredibly at work. And there was a sense of awe and respect for God, a healthy amazement, a sense of the supernatural. Only God could do these miracles. Only God could cause this to happen. And they had an anticipation of what God was going to do. And so they had this sense that something bigger than us is happening here. This is not merely a human enterprise. And I really believe the church needs to recapture that if we're going to recapture spiritual momentum. We need to see, you know, there's more than just a church here. There's more than just an organization here. There's the Holy Spirit of God moving in powerful ways, answering prayers, doing remarkable things that only God could do. Can you start praying those kind of prayers? Can you say, God, break through, do what I can't do? I want to share with you a brief story of two strangers. One named Danny, a member of our church, had with just a stranger met at a baseball diamond recently, just a few months ago. Check it out.
Well, I met Danny on a park bench, a picnic bench, behind the backstop of a softball field, and introduced myself as Danny, and then she responded, I'm Danny. So I thought that was a connection, but God always has some ordained meetings in life, and that was one of them. There came a time where I could tell her heart was really struggling. And that's when I felt motivated to invite her to church.
When Danny invited me to church, I was in a very, very rough place emotionally. Probably one of the hardest times that I had ever gone through. And he just happened to catch me at the right time. And now I realize that it was God at work right there. He invited me to church and I was more than willing to come, and I came that first Sunday to church, and I left there in tears, just feeling like the entire message was for me. It was truly incredible, and Yeah, it was a very emotional day, but it was a good emotion, like hope, feeling of hope for the first time in a while, so yeah.
Well, it just so happened one of the class members, John Hines, was involved in Alpha, and it had just begun a week before, and he immediately invited her, and I was toying with the thought of being a part of it anyway. And so we decided to just go together.
I've always believed in God. I've always believed in the higher power and prayer and all of that, but not to the extent that Alpha like really dives into it with. But then also it's great for people who don't believe at all. And it's great for people who are full blown believers. And so that's what I truly enjoyed about this group. It's for anybody. It's the Alpha Retreat, March 7th. Will forever be one of my favorite days ever. During one of the parts of the day, it was our prayer part of the day, I guess, and I still was in a very rough place emotionally at that point, and I just felt myself breaking down as I was being prayed for, and I don't know, I just felt like I was ready just to ask God into my life, like, I'm ready to just give it all to you, and I did, and I felt like this immense sense of calmness just go through my body, like I went from crying uncontrollably to just calm. And that's how I knew that everything was going to be okay.
On my prayer list in the morning, I have one line that says, God, help me to find more opportunities. Be prepared in your own heart to share the glorious gospel message. Because you never know who you're going to run across. But I was just available. And that's what you need to be, available. And in a position where you're looking for opportunities.
Be willing to listen, be willing to learn, and be open-minded to the help that's being given to you or offered to you. Because if you're not willing for that, and you're not going to receive it well, but when you receive it, it's incredible. So just be willing.
Incredible story, but that's an only God moment. That is an only God moment. Please continue to pray for those sorts of moments to happen in your life and in my life, where you see God do something that there's no other explanation than the Holy Spirit brought it about. Number five mark of spiritual momentum is we are marked by selflessness and generosity. Verse 44. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. They took what they had and they shared it with other people. No one forced them to do this, was not commanded. It was just something they wanted to do together. They had radical generosity. They said, God has given me more, so I want to help someone who has less. And you know, Valley Church, I want to tell you, Valley Church is a generous church, and we see this time and time again. We've seen this throughout the COVID pandemic. You have generously given to support the ministries of Valley Church, the mission of Valley Church, and to those in need in our community, both through your financial generosity and also through your donations. It's been incredible. And we're walking in the footsteps of the early church. You know, author and pastor John Ortberg writes, there was a Christian writer named Clement in about 95 AD, and he wrote this: we know of many among ourselves who have delivered themselves into slavery in order to ransom others. Okay? Think about it. You're a slave in the first century. You have no dreams of ever being free. You have no means, and one day your master comes and takes off your chains and says, you're free. You can go now. And you have no idea how this happened. And then you see somebody else from this congregation of Christians, and they didn't have any money either, but they loved you so much that they went to the master and they said, take my life for his. And through that sacrifice, they actually set you free. And Clement, this early Christian writing in 95 AD, says, quote, "We know of many who have done this." That's radical, radical generosity. Number six, a sixth mark of spiritual momentum is we enjoy gathering in authentic friendship. Guys, this is important. We gather in authentic friendship. Let me share you. Last weekend, I wasn't here because I was actually leading the wedding, performing a wedding for one of my oldest friends, Gary Poole. Many of you know Gary. He'd never been married. He was 61 years old. And he finally found the woman of his dreams, a woman who had herself never been married before. She's a few years younger, but there's Michelle, and there they are. I actually snapped this photo during the wedding because I wanted photographic proof of this miracle that my roommate was actually getting married. But we had also, in addition to the incredible wedding, we had a reunion of sorts. And is a picture of me right here. All right, that's me with hair. And Gary, and then two other roommates. We had not been together for over 35 years. And this was 40 years ago this photo was taken. So we restaged the photograph, and here we are together again 40 years later, all of us believers in Jesus. And we were just reflecting. I'm going to tell you guys, it was such a beautiful experience to be able to sit there with my friends who I've known for 40 years and to relive fun times that we had, to catch up on life. And it was like no time had passed at all. So it's like we were just right back together again, even though 40 years had passed since we'd been roommates. And that's deep friendships. And that's what we need to do life together. We need friendships in Christ that will be with us through the ups and downs of life. And I want to tell you, a mark of spiritual momentum is when you gain friendships like those, and most of them aren't going to be 40 years, but you gain friendships, people you can trust, your life group, people that are followers of Jesus, that you have this bond in Christ. That's a treasure. And I want to encourage you to really don't neglect those things. It says in verse 46 of the early church, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. They just loved being with each other. They were each other's cheerleaders, and they were happy. They were having fun together. This is what life is about. And I think so many of us have missed it so badly during this pandemic of just getting together with people. There's something rich and beautiful about it. It's the way the church is supposed to be. People are in this early church, they were hanging out in homes together, they were sharing meals together, and they were actually happy. And it wasn't fake, it was authentic. It says, glad and sincere hearts. They believed in Christ. By the way, the question, was this a big church or was this a small church? And the answer is yes. It was a big church. There's like 3,000. They met together in the temple courts regularly, all the time. But they gathered together in big groups. But they also met together in homes, and it was a small group. So that's why we have corporate worship, and we have life groups as well, and small groups that we can get together in. And they share their lives together with one another. This is the way the church is meant to be. Every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. And seventh and last mark of spiritual momentum is that we see God-given growth in spiritual influence. We see God using us to make a difference in other people's lives. Verse 47 says, they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. People actually like these Christians. And every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This was incredible. They were living in such a way that the general populace took notice of them and said, there's something different about those Christians. And they were popular. Not that doesn't mean they weren't opposed sometimes, but that people respected them and felt that they lived good lives. And it created good works, create goodwill, and this created opportunities to share the good news. And they saw people daily coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So they were focused outward. They were welcoming spiritual explorers to come join their ranks and to learn about the faith of the early church. So when we say yes to that, we say, God, use me to be a spiritual influencer of others, like we saw earlier in the video. We can see God do amazing things. I conclude with this, guys. I'd love you to go online to valley.church/boldfaith, and I'd like you to make a bold faith move for your spiritual growth and for your spiritual influence. Here it is. You're going to see options right up here, and I'm going to go through these quickly. Maybe your bold faith move, and you're going to choose just one of these nine for your bold faith move. And if you want to say more about it, we'd love to hear from you, but you can just put one number if you'd like to. Number one, and respond this way so we know how you're, what bold faith move you're taking. One is spiritual practices and opportunities. It's like, I need to dig into the Word of God. I need to have a more regular time of prayer. I need to get together with my life group. Maybe that's it. Number second is worship with God's people. It's like, I need to be more regular in joining us online or being in person in worship. I need to be more regular with that, or just spending more time in worship with the community of God's people. Christian community is like, I need to find a Christian community. I need to find a life group. I need to sign up. I need to get involved. That would be number three. Number four is I really, really see a need for me to build up some of my relationships, or maybe it's friendships, or it's my family. There's something that needs repair or strengthening in your personal relationships, your friendships, or family, and that's your bold faith move. This is, by the way, these bold faith moves are not for this week. They're for an entire year. So pick something bold and pick something big, all right? Number five, spiritual leadership. It's like, you know, I sense that God is calling me to step into a bigger role in terms of spiritual leadership. Maybe that's moving from one level of leadership to the next level of leadership. I don't know what that might be. Number six, first fruits and generosity. This is simply, hey, you know what? This is the year that God wants me to cross that line and begin to give him the first fruits of everything that he's provided for me. Or maybe for some, it's like, I just need to step up. I'm so excited about what God's doing. I want to go all in and just go crazy with being extra generous in this coming year and see how God might use it. Number seven is character growth. Maybe there's an area of your life. Maybe there's a character flaw. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's an area of weakness that you sense, I'd really love to see God do something special in this year. Number eight is crossing boundaries. This simply means you say, I sense that God is asking me to step in more intentionally into a relationship with someone who's different than I am, socioeconomically, ethnically, racially, and to cross some boundaries. And number nine, I sense that this is the year that God wants me to get more involved in volunteering and serving within the local church to bless the people of God and to bless our community. All right, so those are the, just pick one of those nine and say, that's the one. We'll leave these up on the screen at the end of the message so you can review them. And then for your spiritual, this is for spiritual growth, how about for spiritual influence? That is, making an impact on those who are not yet followers of Jesus. I ask you to pick just one of these letters. A is Alpha. You say you sign up for Alpha the next time it's offered, or even now, and you bring a friend with you. That can be a great way. Bridges. We talk about community bridges. Maybe this is the year that you take some personal thing that you do, some hobby that you have, some interest that you have, and say, you know what? I want to begin to invite somebody else into my movie club. I want to invite somebody else into enjoying running. It might just be some interest that you have. You build a personal connection and you invite non-Christians to join you in that. C is bridges with a church connection. That is, maybe you're part of Upward Sports and it's time to invite a neighbor to join you in that who's not yet a part of the body of Christ. And that's just an example of inviting a non-believer into a church connection that you are part of. D, this is going to be a lot of you. It's just practicing 3D. One, that is at least one life in your life where you discover friendships with somebody who's not a believer. You discover their stories, and then you discern the next steps. We've talked about this many, many times, but maybe this is the year that you take this to a next level of developing friendships, discovering stories, discerning next step. E is neighborhood. You're like, I'm going to dive into my neighborhood and start making connections and friendships in my neighborhood. Maybe it's F, it's the workplace. You're going to do the same thing in the workplace. You're like, this is the year that I really dive into some of those relationships at work to be a spiritual influence. Or G, Spiritual Discovery Group, that's for somebody who is not yet a Christian. Maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but you'd like to have a place where you could ask questions in a safe place. Spiritual Discovery Group might just be the thing for you. Mark down G with that. So choose one of those, review this, and then go to valley.church/boldfaith. Respond. I'd encourage you to do that today, not to put that off for a week or a month because you'll forget about it. But today, before the sun sets, if you could take advantage of doing that. And finally, I want to close with this. You know, some people say, what difference can I make? Or have I waited too long? You know, we were talking with one of our partners in global outreach this week, and I was talking to him actually on the phone, and he told me a story, an incredible story, about a man actually in a West African nation. This man, and I want you to imagine, I don't have his actual photograph, I want you to imagine him in your mind though. He told the story of a man who was 100 years old. He was from a Muslim background, and at 100 years old, he came to faith in Jesus. He trusted in Jesus Christ. You know what he said? I want to make a difference. And he was in his little village, and he said, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see a church begun in my community. And you know what he did? He got in contact with some people, and today, there's a church in that community that has never existed before. This man is now 105 years old, still going strong, still serving the Lord. At 105, this guy still has spiritual momentum. How about you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you to go through this incredible passage. Help us to dive deep into it in our hearts and help us to make bold faith moves for your glory. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.